Hi, everyone. I thought today I would speak about an enormous revolutionary insight that the Ramban had to an understanding Chumash, and to investigate this revolutionary insight that the Ramban had, whether it's an appropriate insight in regard to understanding the books of Tanakh, or whether it's a little bit forced, the idea of the Ramban. Now, by this I mean the idea that the Ramban has, that the books of Tanakh have a central theme, have a central idea, which transcend, which go throughout the entire book. Now, you know, you go to the drugstore, you pick up a novel, you buy the novel, right? So you think to yourself, when you're buying a novel, do you think the novel has a theme? Not like a good novel, but like something you pick up on the drugstore. How you assume it's just a story, but there's no central theme, central idea going throughout the work. And similarly, let's say you picked up a history textbook, right? You find someone in high school is a big history textbook. Is there a theme to the history textbook? Probably not. It's probably just a recollection, a description of events. When you read Shakespeare, let's say, though, or a piece of good literature, then people start thinking that there is a theme, a central idea, a central concept which transcends throughout the work. The question which the Ramban raises, the question which the Ramban raises and the insight that the Ramban has is to argue that the books of Tanakh have themes, and not to think that the books of Tanakh are just stories, but that there is a central message that goes throughout the book. Okay? And what I'd like to do today is discuss this distinction of the Ramban, discuss whether it's a fair distinction or not a fair one. But before we go on, I just want to make sure that the distinction here is clear in everyone's mind. The question of the Ramban, are books of the Tanakh just description of events, description of facts, a story, or if there's a central theme, a deeper message, or a deeper central concept which goes throughout the book? Fine. Sounds like we're good with that. And if it's not so clear, we read the first source on the sheet. One side is Hebrew, one side is English. The Ramban's introduction to Sefer Shmos is where he most clearly makes this statement that books of Tanakh have one central idea throughout the book. The Ramban writes, "B'nisyached Sefer Be'el Shmos," and the central singular theme of the book of Shmos is "B'nyan Hagalut Harishon Hanigzar Beferush," the first exile which was decreed against the Jewish people, "Uvegeulami Manu," and the redemption that the Jewish people had from their exile. "Dolchein," Ramban says, therefore, "Chazar v'tchil b'shemos yordei Mitzrayim v'misparam," the book begins with the descent into the exile. "Bavur kiri dasam sham b'reishit hagalut kime'az huchal." So Sefer Shmos begins with the description of the exile, right? So the central theme of the book of Shmos, according to the Ramban, is exile and redemption. And therefore, the Ramban says, therefore, the book begins with exile. Okay, so let's, before we read the rest of the Ramban, let's try to put on our thinking caps and try to figure out. So what else should belong in this book where the theme of the book is exile and redemption? Any volunteers?
Entering the land of Israel.
Entering the land of Israel. Okay, so somewhere the pinnacle of redemption would be entering Israel, because we're not fully redeemed till we return to our land. Okay. Anyone have any other suggestion? You also were raising your hand. You were going to say the same thing. What were you going to say?
I was going
to
say redemption.
Okay, so that's good. So. Yeah, someone else? Yeah? Well, but he comes back out after he goes down. So it's a different exile. But at least this exile, this is what we might expect to see. Okay, so we're writing this book with the theme is exile and redemption, and we'd like to see those three things in the book. Now, why would we think that these would be the three parts of this book about exile and redemption? So it's Pesach time, right? We just finished with Purim, so now we're thinking towards Pesach. And if you look at the list here of the Hebrew sources on the sheet, the source here from Shmos Parak Vav, the description of the Arba Lishanot Shel Geula, the four different ways of referring to redemption, which we know is why we have four cups at the Seder, is because there are four Lishanot Shel Geula. Each cup of the Seder refers to a different aspect of the redemption. So the Torah tells us, that God promises that the Jewish people, that we will be redeemed, God will take us out from under the work of Egypt. So the first two parts of a redemption that the Torah describes is the work stoppage, that we won't be slaves anymore. And then number three, we're going to have Geula, we're going to be redeemed. Number four, does anyone here have an idea what that refers to? Har Sinai. Okay, so why is Har Sinai? Okay, because exactly. When God gives us the Torah, God says to us, that we will be the special nature of God. So this fourth aspect of taking us as the nation should be an aspect of the redemption, and also as it appears later on in Yisrael.
Yeah. The flip side of the Harkigis is that it was the chuppah from the erusin of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it was actually
So that's the fourth part, taking us to the nation where we become God's nation through Har Sinai. And then the fifth one, Ve'vesiyas Tam El Ha'aretz, is taking us into the land of Israel. Okay, now what's the obvious problem with this description here, where Shmos Perek Vav describes for us what a redemption involves? There are five steps to a redemption. And how does this pose a potential problem for the Ramban's theory that Sefer Shmos, the Book of Shmos, is a book whose theme is exile and redemption?
Shmos cuts the story short.
Right. Shmos ends the story over here. We only enter Israel. We don't enter Israel until Sefer Yehoshua. Maybe you could argue that in Bamidbar they're at least preparing to enter Israel, but surely there's no mention of going into Israel in Sefer Shmos. So that's the first question on the Ramban: where is entering Israel? Of course, now we're thinking about the Seder, right? How many cups of wine do we really have? What? How many cups of wine do we really have? Well, so four or five, right? There's a debate whether we have four cups of wine or five cups of wine. And part of the reason why they have this debate is that even reading these psukim, some people would want to suggest that Ve'vesiyas Chaim is not really part of the redemption, it's just another promise. Can anyone think, reading closely here in the psukim, a reason why this perhaps doesn't belong here? Reading the psukim very closely?
It is a separate pasuk.
It is a separate pasuk, but so is the Lakachti.
What? There's another verb between
the Adatim. Meaning, when the Torah gives the Lashonot of Geulah, we have the Hoteiti, and the Salti, and then it looks as though there's a summary at the end of Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem, and this is summarizing the first four Lishonot. Can anyone think, looking carefully again at the Psukim, how we could tell that this clause of Vidatem is actually summarizing the first four methods of redemption and does not constitute anything else by itself? Right, it's Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem Hamotziaskan, who takes you out, and it connects you back to the first one. So it's possible that Ve'vesiyaskan el Aretz actually would not belong in our book here of redemption. It's another promise and not part of the redemption. Okay? And that's how the Ramban would answer this question about why entering Israel doesn't appear in Sefer Shmos. Okay? We're good so far. But there's another more important question which the Ramban has to answer about something that is in Sefer Shmos, which doesn't seem to belong. Right? According to this, that this is the part of the redemption, where should Sefer Shmos, the Book of Shmos, end? After Yetzias Mitzrayim, which has four parts, ending and taking us as a nation, what parsha does that happen in? in Parshas Yisro, if, again, if this is Har Sinai, so Har Sinai happens in Yisro Mishpatim, and according to the Ramban, really Sefer Shmos should end at that point. The Ramban has an answer. If you turn back to the Ramban that we were reading, his introduction to Sefer Shmos, again, one side on the Hebrew, one side on the English, the Ramban tells us, V'nei ha-galut eino nishlam, that the exile does not end, ayom shuvam el mekomam ve'anolat avotam yeshuvu, until they come to the point in which they return to mekomam, their place. Sounds as though the Ramban means until they return to Israel. But it's fascinating when you see the Ramban's description of what the redemption is. U'kishiyatsu mimitzrayim, avo pi shiyatsu mibeis avadim, even though they already left from a work, adayin yechashu golem ki hayu be'eretz lo lahem neguchim b'midbar, they're still not considered to be redeemed. U'kishibau el har Sinai, when they come to Har Sinai, ve'asu ha-mishkan, and they build the Mishkan, then the Ramban goes on to say that we have a redemption and an ending of an exile. So the Ramban says, there is a fifth component here of the redemption, and the Ramban says that this fifth component of building the redemption is making the Mishkan. Okay, agree or disagree? Before you came here today, did you ever think that building the Mishkan is part of us being redeemed from slavery? Yeah.
The Gemara in Erevim says that Mishkan Nikra Mikdash Mikdash Nikra Mishkan, so that even though there isn't a Yishuv Haaretz yet, and that there's no Beis Hamikdash, but that there is this idea already in the Gemara of a Mishkan being equated with that, and therefore I don't think, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I don't think that it's such a stretch to argue that this actually might be in some minor sense, in maybe a symbolic sense, Behevesi.
So, your name again?
Alex.
So Alex's argument is, no, the Ramban here is not making such a stretch. What he's essentially saying is we had here before entering Israel, and somehow the Mishkan is entering Israel. And when you said, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, if I'll interpret that, you're saying it's not so clear, because after all, the Psukim in Va'era say that the redemption ends in Israel, and the Ramban is replacing that with Mishkan, so that's not the simplest thing, but it's not the worst stretch ever.
It's a preferential
Gemara. Right, okay. So that's Alex's approach to try to address this. Yeah.
He even said that in Shirat Hayam, where it leads to what's happening as a culmination of it, it says, right after, and then you have the verbal form of Mikdash, which might allude to also being an integral part, and it doesn't
so,
end
okay,
at
so,
that point.
So,
it's Shamarim used to show that it was Hagrizim and not Haramoriyah.
So this is the defense from defense for the Ramban, that the building of the Mishkan is alluded to in Parshas Va'era in the mentioning of Israel.
To be fair, when you asked us if we imagined it as part of a Geula, I think we're when we think of Geula, we think of the physical Geula, that obviously we get taken back to where we, the place where we belong in Israel, but it seems clear that Ramban's thinking of it as a more spiritual Geula.
Right. But the question that I want, I mean, that's a great point, but it highlights the question to answer today, and that is to try to figure out whether the Ramban's insight that the books of Tanakh have themes is a fair insight or not. Now, remember, we'll take all those points in a second, remember for a second that the Torah never tells us this book has a theme. The Torah never tells us that this book has a central idea. We could have argued, and many Rishonim over the course of history did believe, that what is the purpose of the books of the Torah? To tell us the history of the Jewish people. Right? Why do we have a Sefer Yehoshua? Why do we have a Sefer Shmuel? Why do we have a Sefer Malachim? We have books of Tanakh because we want to know the history of the Jewish people. And it's not that each individual book has a theme, has a central message, but it's recounting what happened to our people. The Ramban is taking a new approach. The Ramban is breaking from what many other Rishonim believed, what many other Parshanim believed, and the Ramban is saying, no, the books, each independent book of Tanakh has its own message. And what we're trying to test today is, so is the Ramban's insight something that is that the Chumash lends itself to, or is he trying to force his insight on the text? Right. So that's sort of my response to that. Other people had hands raised before. Yeah.
Why are we even separating Mishkan and Har Sinai? It's really part and parcel of the same thing.
So,
because if you read it correctly, as a result of Har Sinai, there was the Egel, and as a result of the Egel, there was the building of the Mishkan.
Okay, so we're going to
part and parcel of the same.
So we're going to get to that point later. Is the Mishkan a continuation of Har Sinai? Hold that thought, and we'll get there later. But we're going to get there. I promise. Yeah. Someone else had a hand raised? Yeah.
Oh, when you quoted the Gemara, which compared the Mishkan to the Mikdash, they don't compare it to the Mikdash, but who says that the Mikdash is part of the redemption? Because we had the Chamisha Lashonos over there, and none of them mentioned the Mikdash. It generally mentioned the coming into Israel. So that's different than the Mikdash.
The Lashon of the Mikdash in Re'e is Uvat Hashem, which is a shame Shoresh is a
Beit. Right, but I mean, part of the problem here is that we're comparing three things. Is that we're comparing Israel and the Beis HaMikdash, and then we're comparing the Beis HaMikdash with the Mishkan. So, even if there are these two comparisons, it's possible that even though these things are compared, and even though these two things are compared, the Mishkan and Israel is not compared. So that's part of the problem. And again, whenever we learn Tanakh, whenever we learn Parshanim, we have to ask ourselves whether we are justifying an explanation that the Ramban gave because we want to understand the Ramban, or whether that this explanation of the Ramban is Pshuto Shel Mikra, is what we feel is the better explanation of the text of Tanakh. So the question to think about is this interpretation of the Ramban, is this the interpretation that we're going to take home with us? We're going to come home today and we're going to say, I believe that this explanation of the Ramban is the Pshuto Shel Mikra, is really what the Ratzon Hashem was to give him the Tanakh, or are we giving a justification of what the Ramban thought, but for us ourselves, we will adopt other explanations as to what's going on in Sefer Shemot. Okay. Great. Okay, so now we're going to turn to the point that was raised a few minutes ago, which is the connection of the Mishkan with Har Sinai. Right? The Ramban is essentially saying that the Mishkan is part of us becoming redeemed, and somehow, just as Har Sinai gives us the Torah and makes us into God's nation, so too the Mishkan also is part of our redemption. Okay. But there's something that you mentioned in your description of how the Mishkan is a continuation of Har Sinai. You said, we have Har Sinai, then we sin in the Chen HaEgel, and then we have to build a Mishkan as a response to that. So if that's true, then essentially what we're saying is that when God originally planned the redemption, was the Mishkan part of the plan of the redemption? No, right? The ideal redemption, according to the way you're describing it, it ends at Har Sinai. And in fact, the book with the theme of the redemption maybe should end here. If you want to tell me a new book, we can call it, Vayikra or something else, and in that new book you want to have Cheta Egel, and the response to Cheta Egel is the Mishkan, that's fine. But that's not part and parcel of the redemption. Had there not been a Cheta Egel, the redemption would have ended at this point. And that's a serious problem for the Ramban. What is, if that's true, why is the Mishkan here? Yeah. So the Ramban gives a startling chiddush in the next paragraph of the Ramban, which we have to understand. This startling chiddush of the Ramban is a necessary point that the Ramban has to make to justify what he said in Shmos. Right? The Gemara says, and we'll describe how the Gemara knows this later today. But the Gemara says in a few places. The Gemara says in a few places that the sequence of events in Sefer Shmos was Har Sinai. Sinai is followed by Egel, which is the sin, and the Egel is followed by Mishkan. Which is repentance. That the Gemara says in a few places. And again, if this is true and the Ramban were to adopt this, the Ramban will have to address this question. If the Mishkan is only a repentance for the Cheta Egel, it should not belong in Sefer Shemot. So the Ramban writes here in the Ramban side of the sheet, towards the bottom, in the second citation, the Ramban writes, Yisrael kiblu aleihem asos komashi itzavim Hashem ayido shel Moshe. After Har Sinai, the Jewish people accepted to do everything that God commands. The karasi mahem bris al kol zeh, they had a covenant. Me'ata hinei heim lo la'am v'hu la'han le'lokim. Where is the Ramban quoting from? Heim lo la'am v'hu la'han le'lokim. He's quoting from Matan Torah v'yisev li'segula mikol ha'amim. A close quote, but not exactly. Where is he exactly quoting from? Right, he's quoting from here. V'idatem in Shmos Vav, v'lakatias kamila am v'ayisi lohem le'lokim. That's what the Ramban is quoting. So again, he's connecting, taking us as a nation, and he's saying that that's what our Sinai is. Etc. And therefore, the first command which God gave after He took them gave them the Torah was the Mishkan. Sheyelo bayis b'sacham mukdash shmo, that He would have a house in their midst. V'shamid averi Moshe v'itades b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, He there would speak to Moshe. V'nei ikar hachefetz b'mishkan u'makom munachas hashchina shehu aaron. The point of the Mishkan is to have an Aron, to have a place for God to be in the midst of the Jewish people. And therefore the Ramban argues, it makes perfect sense that the Mishkan belongs in Sefer Shmos. The Mishkan is a continuation of Har Sinai, taking us as a nation and being a place that God is in our midst. Okay. So, agree or disagree with this Ramban, who's essentially changing the order and changing the whole concept. Right, for the Ramban, and for the Ramban, the order is changed. The Mishkan has to precede the Cheder Egel. And again, the question is, what possessed the Ramban to do this? Why did the Ramban have to create such a phenomenal chiddush that in fact the Mishkan precedes Cheder Egel? Why did the Ramban have to create such a chiddush? It's in order to justify, again, his theory that Sefer Shmos is based on themes, and therefore building the Mishkan has to be part of Sefer Shmos, part of the theme. Yeah. You can challenge that if you want. Okay, so here we've uncovered something that should be stressful for us, right? On the one hand, when we go through the order of the parshios in Tanakh, we go in Sefer Shmos, right? Shmos ve'ravo b'shalach Yisro mishpatim. What comes next? Truma tetzav and the Mishkan, and then comes Kisisa, comes the Egel. So the Ramban's order is the order of the parshio. So therefore, you want to say that's not a phenomenal chiddush. But let's put the Ramban back in the context that the Ramban is living in. Right? The Ramban is known primarily to us as Jews as a halakhicist and a Talmudist. Right? The Ramban went through all of the Gemara. When you look through the Gemara says in more than one place, about a dozen places, the Gemara clearly takes this approach. And the Ramban's decision to drop the Gemara, and not even to mention the Gemara's approach here, is why I think it's justifiable to call this a phenomenal thing.
He does think chronologically. It seems like he's saying that the actual building of the Mishnah didn't happen afterwards.
Well, I mean, everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees that that happened.
I think he's sort of rereading an underhanded
way. That's fair. But I still think that Chazal take the approach that the Mishkan is a bidiyavet. Chazal take the approach that the Mishkan is not an ideal thing. That when God created the world, if you would have asked God whether there would have been a Mishkan, God would have told you no. I don't want there to be a Mishkan in the world. And in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when God was taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, if you would have asked God, do you want there to be a Mishkan, God would have said no. That's the approach of the Gemara. God didn't want there to be a Mishkan. The Ramban, in order to justify why the Mishkan is here, in order to justify why the Mishkan is Sefer Shmos, he's forced to argue that the Mishkan is a lechatchila, that it's part of the divine plan, that when God took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, he had in mind that they would build a Mishkan, and for that reason, he rejects the approach of Chazal, and he's forced to give this approach that the Mishkan precedes the Egel. Yeah.
There's also an approach that the Mishkan, that the Shechina would have been right in the Machaneh, and Hashem was mitzantzeim himself because couldn't be there. And that approach doesn't seem to require kapara necessarily. That it was out of necessity that he was mitzantzeim, right. But the Shechina had to be there anyway.
That doesn't seem to be the
used for something else. But the
that doesn't seem, the Chazal are not taking that approach, and the Ramban is not taking that approach. Definitely people do take the approach, but the question we're focusing on now is the Ramban's decision to drop the position of Chazal and what motivated him to do that.
But what I'm saying is that there could be an opinion where there could have been something like a Mishkan or a place for the Shekhinah to be, even without the necessity for a Kapar for the Egel.
But it's not. I'm older, but I don't think that's the Gemara's position. Yeah.
I'm not sure which Marai Chazal we're talking about here, but are these Marai Chazal, they say explicitly, oh, it's the Eved, or they say just that it's Kapara? Because you can easily see the Ramban saying, okay, it's true that it's a Kapara, but that's only a secondary aspect of the Mishnah. I mean, we're going to have a Mishnah anyways, and it happens to be that.
I'm not familiar with any source in the Gemara and the Mishnayos which present the Mishkan as an ideal that God wants to rest the Shekhinah in the midst of people. If you're aware of one, we could look at it. Okay. Yes?
This might get too far filled than it does, and just cut it off, but that the idea of Shabbos, which is a lechatchila, I mean, it might be the lechatchila of Ola, but and the Surah Shabbos are tied directly to the Mishnah. So I don't know if there's some sort of lechatchila in that the Mishka, in that you need the Mishka in order to learn what is prohibited to do on Shabbos. I don't know if that goes too far off from that.
Yeah, it's a good question, but I think it's a little bit too far.
But for the Ramban, my question is not a question.
Right. See, it's a question, right, on Chazal, not for the Ramban. Okay.
Connecting to what the gentleman said about different possible the goals for the Mishnah and the Ramban in the beginning of Truma, I think, when he talks about...
That's this Ramban.
Right, so when he talks about all the allusions of the Hemshev from Har Sinai and how there's parallels between what was going on in Sinai and what was going on in Mishkan, even moving fate, he seems to have an objective for the Mishkan, and we do have indications of centralized worship, and like the Mizbeach Adama, that there wasn't at least some kind of centralized place, even without a sin. So it's not totally interdependent.
Right, but again, the point is, the Mishkan and organized worship, is that part of redemption or not? And the Ramban is making two.
If it's still part of number four, it looks like the Hemshev.
Right, but I don't know if we ever find that the Beis HaMikdash is, the reason why we have a Beis HaMikdash is as a continuation of Har Sinai. I think the clear, I mean, if you look at the Pesukim in Re'eh about the Beis HaMikdash, we have a Beis HaMikdash to have Korbanot. And that's not part of redemption, that's part of our religious lives in Israel. And that's, again, the pressure on the Ramban is, how would you argue that the Mishkan is a continuation of Har Sinai and about God's presence in our midst? Are you arguing that for the Beis HaMikdash also, or just for the Mishkan?
The Ramban wants to say that each sefer has a theme. There's a sefer of just two psukim where the Aron is the only thing.
I don't think the Ramban agrees that that's a sefer. Okay. The reason why I believe that this Ramban is particularly difficult is that it goes against a explicit pasuk in the Torah. And I think the reason why Chazal offered this approach, that it goes Sinai, Egel, followed by Mishkan, is because of the pasuk later in the Torah. And I think that this pasuk poses particular difficulties for the Ramban. If you look at the quote here from Sefer Devarim, Moshe is retelling all about the things that happened to the Jewish people in the time that they were in the desert. Va'isahi, at that time, Amar Hashem Eloi, Salochash Ne'ilchos Adonim Karishonim. So what is this talking about? When are we talking about now? At that time, God said to me, make me new luchos. We're talking about?
After he broke them.
So it's after he broke them, it's also after? Chet Egel. Clearly after the Egel. Ve'alei Eli Hahara, go up onto the mountain. Ve'asei lecha aronet, make an aron.
We're talking after the second time we're in, the third time, in Rosh Chodesh El.
Right, but he's about to go up on Rosh Chodesh El to get the next set of luchos, he's told to make an aron eitz. What's this Aron Eitz for? What Aron Eitz are we talking about? Just the Mishkan, maybe? V'achtov al luchos ad rima she'ayu al luchos of shema she'chibarta. God says that he will write on the second luchos like the first ones, the samtam ba'aron. Again, we're talking about the second set of luchos after Chet Egel. V'as aron et seishitim v'achtov shnei luchos ad rim karishonim. Moshe does what God commands. He makes new luchos. V'al ahara u'shnei luchos v'yadi. He goes up on the mountain. God writes the 10 tablets on the next set, the ten tables on the next set of tablets. My din Hashem Yilah, he gives it to me. Va'epen v'arevin arvei sin luchos v'arevin asher asikti. Then Moshe goes down, he puts the luchos in the second arm. Okay. Torah continues. Ba'esahi, at that time, what time are we talking about? Same time, right? If it's saved by Isahi, same time. Again, we're talking about after Cheda Egel. At that time, Hivdil Hashem Hashavet HaLevi, God separated the tribe of Levi, La'aseh Saron Bris Hashem, to carry the Aron, right? The Levium carried the Aron. La'amol Lifnei Hashem L'sharito, to offer the Korbanot, Ulvarech B'shmo, and to save Berachas Kohanim, Ara Yom Hazeh, which is true until today. So tell me something. In which parsha in the Torah are the Kohanim selected to be the Kohanim, the ones who are the Sharito, to offer Korbanot before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In Kisisa. But where's the first time it's mentioned? The first time that it's mentioned that Aaron and his sons are going to have special garments and they're going to have a special role in the Mikdash. Right? In Tetzave. Right? If we have the have our list of parshios here. Yisro and Mishpatim is Har Sinai. Truma and Tetzave is the Mishkan. And then in the middle of Tetzave, or actually the third pasuk of Tetzave, is V'ata ha'krei le'lecha es Aron achicha v'as b'navito mitoch b'nei Yisrael l'chan oli. Aron is made with special Kohen in Parshas Tetzave. And then in Kisisa, you got the Egel.
So, it says v'lechem alechem bracha in Kisisa already, which implies that something can happen because of it.
Right. Hold that thought. Right. So Aron is selected in Parshas Tetzave. When we read Sefer Shmos, we might have thought that, in fact, everything appears in chronological order. The Torah never tells us it is in chronological order. The Torah never tells us it's not in chronological order. And the Shirane Mukta Mukhabar Torah is in the next slot? Okay, so in the next slot, probably he'll disagree with everything I'm about to say about Mukta Mukhabar Torah. But short of an explicit statement of the Torah that it is in order or that it's not in order, it's really always an open question. And you could have said, no, so Truma Tetzaveh, they're their own isolated parashio, maybe they're out of order. You read Sefer Shmos, you don't know. But then you finally get to Devarim, and Devarim is pretty clear that the separation of Aharon, and thus which parsha Tetzaveh, happens after which other event? Kisisa and Mecheda Ega. Ooh. Well, now we understand where Chazal got it from. Now we understand why Chazal say all over the place that the Mishkan is a response to Cheda Egel. It's before Shapasuk in the Torah that the Mishkan was only commanded to the Jewish people after the time of Cheda Egel. Okay. Yes?
The Mishkan or the
Kohanim? Well, so, right. Is it possible to argue that God would have actually had in mind to command us about a Mishkan, but without Kohanim?
And without...
But and would there have been special vestments? Because the special Big Day Kehunah are only, if you read about Big Day Kehunah, it's hour and hour and hour. So it's a possible suggestion. I don't think the Ramban says that. Maybe we could suggest that God had in mind we'd have a Mishkan, but without Kohen.
We had the
Bechorim
concept.
No.
We had the Bechorim concept, but again, in Parshas, if it's really true that the Ramban is right, that the Tzaveh and the command of the Mishkan precedes Cheda Egel, what should we have said? V'atah krevei lacha as kol b'chor b'bnei Yisrael, v'asitza b'gdei kodesh l'chol b'chorim, holy vestments for the b'chorim, and the b'chorim should wear it. The fact that the Torah doesn't say that implies we've already lost the b'chorim, we've already done Cheda Egel, we've already selected Shevet. Yeah.
I meant the idea of
Mishkan
before
Cheda
Egel, and the details being about post.
Okay, so we'll come to hold that thought. We'll come back to that. Yeah.
But the part of Devarim, all it talks about is the fact that you should make a second set of luchos and put them in an aron, and that the Kohanim or the Bnei Levi are gonna carry the aron. There's no discussion.
Right. So it says.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a mishkan per se. It's going to be that they're going to carry it. They're going to take care of it. Whatever has to be done with the aron, they will do. There's no indication necessarily per se of the Mishkan.
Right, but when it says that they were selected by Moldi Fnei Hashem L'Sharato, Sheirut in Chumash, Sheirut in modern Hebrew means something different, but in Chumash, Sheirut generally means serving in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a pasuk. It's pesukim devarim without a kohen b'sheireis kecholachav a kohenim. It means offering korbanot.
So when it says also the, when the chumash talks about the work of the levim, each one is carrying, one is carrying this, carrying that. That's also their sheirut.
Right.
It has nothing to do necessarily with mishkan. Happens to do with what they're doing with their particular avoda, which is carrying the shulchan or the aron or something else.
Right. So the question is, if what you're saying is true, you're saying that half of the Leviim were selected before Chayei Egel, meaning Aaron is selected to be the Kohen before Chayei Egel, and then you Chayei Egel, and the rest of the Leviim are selected after Chayei Egel. It's a possibility. Some Rishonim do suggest that, but I think the shot in the pasuk is that everything happens later. Yeah.
Just that the 1 second before you can say what I was going to say, we know that this is staged anyway because Pinchas was selected later, not the same.
Oh, Pinchas is exceptional for many reasons.
But
when you read this particular and you talked about the Vasidil Haram 8 being the Aram of the Mishkan, it's clear that Moshe tells the story in a very different way than the way it's told in Shmuel in either section. He says that he makes the Aram versus
and
in general.
So I pulled a little trick, Rashi, because of this question, and Devarim says it's two arons, and it means something else. But I think the second part of it, of losses as Higdil, Shem, and Shevet, Alevi, that I think is still a raya, even if you want to have questions about the Vesisa
Lacha Aron. Just in general, about taking the story the way it's written in Devarim, the way it's written in Shmuel, as much as Chazal may be basing their understanding on the way it's told in Devarim, it's still told differently in Shmuel. So either way, you have to.
So this is
what Moshe said to the people. It's not necessarily, Moshe could have also been trying to give a specific message. Okay. People didn't know about
Mishkan until
after
they go. So this raises an Ein Mukta Mumukha Batorah question, which is, if you have one pasuk of the Torah, which is telling you that the order is one thing, and you have the Torah as is in order, what should we assume is the right one? So I guess you could ask this question at the next year for how to deal with that. Yeah.
Whether or not you can answer why Truma is a Tzavar in Shemos, according to the Ramban, why is Bisisa in Shemos?
So I guess maybe it's okay. It's a good question. I didn't even think about that. Okay, but now this is the clincher. Yeah.
Do you remember what you mean about the Tidlavo that the Kula may presumably with the Gadim return to the Bokhoda? We have that also. Not to mention the Pasadini Shayel Budame Emakon.
Right. Okay. Fine. But here's the clincher. How does the Ramban, in his commentary on Devarim, address the Pesukim of Devarim? No? The Ramban, you read the Ramban in Shmos. The Ramban in Shmos told you, this is the correct model, Mishkan Besitz Kede Ego. We now saw Pesukim of Devarim, which clearly disagree with that model of the Ramban. What does the Ramban say in Devarim? Ba'ezahi Dil Hashem Hashem Elivi. He first quotes Rashi, Musav L'Inyan HaRishon, Ba'ezahi B'Shon HaRishon, Shietasim Yitzayim V'titzim Be'Ego, V'nei L'Gidotow, Hidgilim HaMakom V'Kem L'Shem Rashi. He begins by quoting Rashi. Rashi says, Ba'ezahi refers to the day of Cheda Ego. And the Ramban says he doesn't like Rashi. Rashi basically probably doesn't mean the day of Cheda Ego. V'Nachom Be'Enai, the Ramban says, how are we going to explain these psukim? Ki Ba'ezahi Hasheni Karishon. That the two Ba'ezahis, just like we said in this room, the two by eight tahis are referring to the same time. The Ramban is motive to that, it's at the same time. At the same time that Moshe was commanded to get a second set of luchos, shmos, lama dalet aleph, and parshas kisisa, nisratel Yisrael, at the same moment that Moshe was told to get a second set of luchos, God forgave the Jewish people. Then it's Tav El Mishkan. Moshe was commanded about a Mishkan. You read the Ramban. What model is the Ramban adopting here in Devarim? Adopting Chazal's model. Ve'az. And then at that moment, Nisratza Gamla Aaron. God accepted Aaron. Then it's Tav there, and that's what Moshe has commanded. The pasuk in Parshas Tzavet. Ve'asubi Dei Kodesh La'aron Achichol Ve'navu Kachol L'Chal Nali V'tzivav B'miluim, etc. Meaning what? Meaning, for all that we talked about, various justifications for the Ramban, how the Ramban would explain these Pesukim and Devarim according to his approach, the Ramban himself is unwilling to adopt any of the justifications that we gave. The Ramban says, if you're asking me a question of Parshanut, you want me to give you the correct Parshanut for Devarim, Perek, Yud, Pasuk, Ches, I'll tell you the correct Parshanut of that is that the Har Sinai, Chet Egel Sin, followed by Mishkan. And again, the Ramban is telling you the correct parshanut, the right way of understanding the Mishkan, as he says right here, Nisrat Yisrael v'nitzava ol Mishkan. Part of the Ritzul Yisrael, part of the acceptance of the Jewish people, which comes as a response to Moshe's prayers, that God finally accepts him again, is the Mishkan. I said, what do we do with the Ramban and Shmos now? Right? The Ramban is now... He's been zoser himself. The Ramban has contradicted himself. In Sefer Shmos, he tells you one thing. In Sefer Devarim, he tells you something else. Does anyone here have any potential resolutions about how to resolve these two Rambans? I
think he's saying that the way Hashem calls it for Sefer Shmos is different than the way Moshe tells it in Sefer Devarim.
But what actually happened?
He may not be concerned with that.
And in a philosophical sense, in Parshas Devarim, the Ramban says, philosophically, the Mishkan is part of the Truva process for the Jewish people. And in Sefer Shmos, he says, philosophically, the point of the Mishkan is to be a continuation of our Sinai. So, philosophically, which of the two is right? It's about focus between the two Sfarim.
Okay, so that's
one possible. The Ramban was okay with the criticism. He was okay with the two books having different positions. Okay, I happen not to have a resolution for these two Rambans, which are saying opposite things. I think, you have a resolution.
It's part of the Yehud and Bechira Chubshit controversy. We have the Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how we're going to choose and weaves it all in backwards and forwards anyway. So it's all going to fit in many different ways. Even though we might have had a Bechira in terms of doing it one way or the other way, whichever way it came out, he was going to weave it in.
We just would have to justify that the Ramban accepts that position throughout his commentary on Tanakh, which I'm not sure that he does.
Well, the Ramban, I think the Ramban takes literally the idea that the entire Torah was written before creation. He says that in his Akdama. So in order to do that, I guess you kind of have to accept the fact that...
Right, but that doesn't mean that you have to say that everything which is a part of Tshuva is no longer part of Tshuva.
I don't actually see a problem with, if you go with Rambam's theme that, it's exile and redemption, I don't see really a controversy because according to that, maybe it should have ended with Har Sinai, but there was this sin, whether you put the Mishkan before the sin or after the sin, but it's still part of the redemption story. The redemption maybe should have ended in a, ideal world after Har Sinai, but it didn't, so it's still part of that same redemption story. And if the Mishkan is before the Egel or after the Egel, but I still could understand why it would be part of this exile
and redemption. The Ramban is not comfortable with that suggestion. The Ramban and Shmos doesn't say, and yeah, the Torah should have ended at, the Sefer Shmos should have ended after Har Sinai, but we had a Chet Egel, so the Torah has to continue. The Ramban is not saying that. The Ramban says, the only way to justify why the Mishkan is in Sefer Shmos is to assume that it's an ideal and it's part of the redemption. So that's a suggestion, but the Ramban himself wasn't comfortable with that in his content. Yeah.
Just going back to what I said before, if you take the Ramban and Shmos as the basis, and you get to the Gemara, it could be the Ramban is just saying the timing, that he was going to give the Mishkan anyways. We're going to have a Mishkan, but since it happened to be after Chet Egel, so this is as good a time as any to give the Mishkan. That's what's going to happen. You could read it. You're just saying, okay, now it's a good time.
The irony, according to what you're saying, is that now, if that's true, the Ramban is going to move Parshas Truman Tetzaveh to have taken place after Kisisa. And now, once he moved the Parshios, there's no evidence from the Torah that it's an ideal, but still he's going to say it's an ideal. I understand what you're saying, but the one raya that you thought the Ramban had, he now lost, according to your interpretation. So if you look at the Ramban in Vayikra, which is on earlier on the sheet, the Ramban, back when the Ramban was thinking like he thought in Shmos, the Ramban says like that. He says, "Galder Hayashar." This is again before he got to Devar, before he started studying Devar. The Ramban says, "Nistava Moshe Rebbeinu Mishkan Kodem Ma'aseh Egel." Again, the old Ramban assumed that it was like this at the beginning. And after they sin and God said that he would forgive them, Yada me'atmo, Moshe knew from his own self, Shemitzvah Samishka v'mkoma omedes. So the language that the Rabban uses to describe the fact that the Mishkan remains in place is Yada me'atmo shebimkoma omedes. When he gets to Devarim, he uses very different language. Nisratza v'nitztava, it sounds as though it's a first...
Did he know or did he have to be told
that,
Okay, fine. I hear that
one.
Yeah.
I read that Ramban in Vayikra explain the Ramban in Gemara when he says that the Nisrat Yisrat, Nisrat Zal Mishkan, that he's saying that Moshe told people, just like he says in Vayikra, that after Hashem forgives, then Moshe then goes to the people and explains to them that they were forgiven and now gives them the Mitzvah of the Mishkan.
Right, but the pasuk that he quotes, "Vasubi dekosh laron achicha," is God speaking to Moshe, not Moshe speaking to the Jewish people.
Right, but Moshe doesn't tell, according to the Ramban and Vayikra, Moshe doesn't tell people about this until after Diego, because by the time he gets to the bottom of the mountain, they're already...
Right, but I'm saying the Ramban and Devarim, and the Pshat and Devarim is saying that God only commands Moshe, right?
I'm not sure the Ramban is necessarily saying that.
Nitzaveh is singular. A singular one person was commanded. That would have to be Moshe, who's singular, not Mitzvahu. Okay. So now we come back to the question that I began with at the beginning of today, which is the Ramban. So why did the Ramban do all of this? If the Ramban really believed that the Pasuk in Devarim, by all accounts, tells us that, in fact, Chazal's model is correct. And that's why, therefore, did the Ramban in his introduction to Sefer Shmos give a totally different account? It seems as though the Ramban was believed that this idea that all Sfarim have to have a theme was such a strong and potent idea that that it was worth it to offer this contrary approach in order to make the theme idea possible. Remember, the Ramban is living in a society in which we know the Ramban was involved in polemic himself. I don't know if polemic share was earlier today. The Ramban was very much involved in polemic. He lived in a society where they were questioning about the Chumash. They were asking about the Chumash. Is it a fine work of literature or is it an inferior work of literature? And part of that is, does it have a theme, right? Because Shakespeare has a theme. Or it doesn't have a theme, it's a lower class of work. And therefore, the Ramban felt, I have to argue that the books of Chumash have a theme. I have to justify our faith. I have to justify why the books of Tanakh are what they are. But unfortunately, and therefore that's why the Ramban, it goes with this tension. The Ramban and Shmo says, I have to say there's a theme, and that's going to force me to make a different understanding of the Mishkan, but I have to do it. Is it Pshuto Shel Mikra? Well, that's a question to think about. Is this idea of the Ramban's themes really the Pshuto Shel Mikra, or it's a certain deeper level of understanding, a level that goes antithetical to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, a certain thing that's hiding behind the curtain, an added explanation that way. So I think that's something to think about, this explanation of the Ramban, whether it's really the Pshuto Shel Mikra, whether it's something that that goes beside it or against it. Okay? Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the